Okay. Good afternoon. It's Monday, October 31st. It is 3:30 officially. This is the Committee on Appointments. We have a series of formerly six, now five interviews, and we're going to begin with Acting Commissioner John Cullen of the Department of Emergency Services. Welcome.
Good morning. Good afternoon. Sorry. Long weekend.
I'm sorry. It was a long morning, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
We frankly admire you for showing up this morning and not running away.
You're welcome.
Because it was...
He's been in worse. He's been in building, burning buildings and everything else.
It's actually easier.
See, there you are, undermining John's...
That's okay.
I think everything I know about you and the testimony from Bill Ryan this morning was pretty good. About your involvement with the White Plains firefighters. But I'd like to ask why you've chosen to go from being administrator of a firematic environment into one of emergency services. What brings you to make that change?
Actually, my background, even though I was heavily involved in fire department, when I started out, I was an EMS. I was a volunteer EMS worker in Dobbs Ferry. I worked for Empress Ambulance Service back years ago. I was an emergency medical technician. And I was a first responder my whole time as a firefighter, responding to car accidents and victims struck, such as that. And later on in my career, I did get into emergency management. I was a fire investigator. So I do have a pretty varied background in all those areas.
And that led you just to accept the offer to become a deputy commissioner?
Yes, well, in White Plains, I was a firefighter. I retired after 25 years as a deputy fire chief to take a position as a deputy commissioner of public safety in White Plains. And then we had a change in mayors. From time to time, yes, sir. So I was looking, and the position was opened up, and I did an interest in training. I taught in the training academy up there as an adjunct instructor when I was at White Plains for the career fire academies. And as a volunteer firefighter also, I attended classes there.
Where did you volunteer?
I started out in Dobbs Ferry, and I was a volunteer firefighter there for, started when I was 15 as a junior firefighter, and then joined at 18, and left there at the rank of captain, moved to Tarrytown and joined the firehouse at Riverside Hose. I was there for 11 years, left as captain, and I'm now in my 12th year in Pleasantville with Daniel P. Hayes Hose Company. So as a career firefighter and also a volunteer firefighter. And that's what I think helps that I've lived through both sides of it, and I can relate to both career and volunteer firefighters as well as EMS workers.
Sounds good. Mr. Testa.
Well, first of all, his experience, you've done a great job so far as the acting, so I want to thank you for
thank
your
you.
Service for that. And it is, as we've talked about in other interviews, and I've mentioned as a mayor, dealing with the career versus the volunteers, not easy. The volunteers have animosity toward the career, but they all want to be a career guy.
Mm-hmm. Read the minutes. Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of tough to walk that fine line, especially at scenes and things like that. So, but at the county level, with such a bigger role, I think your overall experience has really played well for what you've done. So that's my comments.
Ms. Meyer.
Yeah, no, I think we're lucky that you're here and that you're willing to step up to the plate. Thank you.
To play on John's point, walking this line between the career service and the volunteer service, when this department was first created by this board in the late 1990s, there was a great deal of antagonism. At least as I understand it, I wasn't here for that, but the scuttlebutt reaches you fairly fast. Between the two branches, to the point where career felt that they were not really welcome at the training center, and they went elsewhere and they provided, they pressured various places to provide services. Is that still the case?
Not since I had arrived there. I did identify that early on, and that the volunteer firefighters train, obviously they have other jobs, nights and weekends, and I recognized that weekdays it was really underutilized, the fire training center. So I did reach out to the Career Fire Chiefs, an organization that represents the career fire departments, and asked them what their issues were. And whether real or imagined, they felt that they weren't welcomed. And I don't know what the issue was. They really couldn't nail it down. But I assured them that they were. And if you look at the fire training center now on a weekday, it's the classrooms are full. Right now we have a career fire academy. Yonkers has a career fire EMS academy going on. We just graduated the Yonkers Fire Academy. I think Thursday there's a municipal training officers workshop going on with the career firefighters. So I've reached out to them, and I think they feel they have an ally in the office there, and they've been utilizing it much more.
And the volunteers still feel comfortable?
Yes, and we're going to set a record this year as far as training hours and participants. Last year we were at 120,000 hours of training, about 24,000 participants, and we're going to top that. So we'll be the second busiest training center in the state right now, but I think we may beat Erie County, which actually has 96 fire departments. So we've been really...
And we only have half that. What a shame. Jeez.
So I think we may top even Erie County this year. So I've reached out and mended whatever issues they felt they had. And again, being on both sides of the fence, I can relate. And there are different issues between career and fire, but they're all welcome there, as is EMS. And yeah, we do a considerable amount of training.
Can we ask you a really tough question?
Go right ahead.
Absolutely.
How do you feel about, because it keeps getting batted around, about putting DES under under Department of Public Safety?
I think as long as they can keep their own identities, and that's what worked well in White Plains. Administratively, they were a public safety department, and that started in 1917 when they went from a village to a city. Hmm. And actually, my great-grandfather was the first police chief there.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So, but the key was, it was administratively they were a Department of Public Safety. But they still had their own identities as fire, police, and EMS, which went a long ways. And administratively, I think it's important. There's no duplication of services, no duplication of equipment. You get, you know, you go to a scene and you see fire and police and White Plains work seamlessly together, as with EMS. So I think it can work. I think administratively, I wouldn't want to blend them operationally, you know, day to day, although in large operations, they can work together. So I think administratively, it's something that can
work. And in White Plains, there's one commissioner then who's
yes.
over everything?
Yeah, the makeup has changed since I left, but there's one commissioner. And then it was the first deputy commissioner oversaw budget and police. I was the second deputy commissioner. I oversaw fire and EMS and emergency management. So it can work.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's very important for police, fire, and EMS to keep their identities up.
Mm-hmm. Good. Interesting. Thank you.
Do you feel that White Plains is satisfactorily recognized the NIMS system for integrating all those three of those branches?
They do. When I was deputy chief and we had a unit, I was one of the first in it with a police lieutenant, and it was called the Unified Special Operations Command. And we worked together in a fire station and oversaw all special operations and emergency planning for the city. And I actually rewrote for the first time in like 12 years the Comprehensive Emergency Management Plan for the city. So they're well up in it and versed in it in NIMS. And they practice it on a daily basis. They don't just wait for an emergency. And actually, we had an issue in management and public safety there that a lot of good people, but they weren't really working in concert on projects, not emergencies, but day-to-day projects. They were having issues, and people were working against each other, duplicating work. So I actually introduced NIMS into day-to-day operations, into projects. So a project would have an incident commander, a logistics person, a finance person, and we did projects that way, and it really came out well.
This board created the department whenever it was, 98, 99, and over the years made substantial investments, in excess of, I think, $8 million and maybe more, and had a number of plans generally that were going unrealized toward the end of the prior administration, having to do with a storefront practice unit and that sort of thing. But it came as a shock to, I think, I would say fairly all but perhaps one member of the Budget and Appropriations Committee this morning when the issue of the smokehouse arose. No one felt that they knew anything about this. I think it's fair to say that none of us also heard from our constituent volunteer or career fire departments about it either. So it was hardly that it was withheld from us, on the one hand, in the sense that nothing perked up. On the other hand, it seems to a number of us that this matter, given the history of this board in the creation of it, and frankly against some of the leadership in the then administration, felt slighted, that we were not appraised of this particular problem. There will frankly be blowback, I suspect, to the volunteer departments from members who will say, why the hell didn't you tell us this thing? At the same time, you were here from virtually the beginning, for the first, what, 6 or 8 weeks of the new administration, you were on the ground. Is there any real reason why this was not discussed with the relevant committees, particularly public safety, but also public works, at the time? I mean, having this, the ceiling spall and fall down is a big deal. I mean, the fact that nobody was killed or even, I'm aware, injured, nevertheless, this is a big deal. And is there a reason why this was not brought forward to us?
I can't answer for administration. On our end, we just put it through our normal procedures. In other words, we looked at it very cleanly. We had a building. It needed repair. We closed it for safety reasons. We notified the Department of Public Works. They sent down engineers. We were given a price, what it needed to be repaired. We went to Budget and Finance. We filled out our paperwork. So there was nothing, no agenda on our end other than to get our building repaired and put back into proper working order. That's all I can do to really fill you in. I mean, I didn't get any, I can tell you I got no directions or anything to hide this matter or to, you know,
I wouldn't have expected you would have.
Consequences.
Yeah. The other way around, frankly, is to be more assertive about talking with this board, and particularly the committee chair. Bill Ryan was chair of public safety at the time that the committee was the department was created. Marty Rogowski, I have been chairs of this particular committee, and I think a feeling as you get off on the right foot, I think of being acting commissioner and de facto commissioner. I say that without prejudice, but that we would like to hear in Matt, particularly during budget season, if there's something that's not being emphasized or being even mentioned, because I gather that this project was in the 2012 capital budget. It just last year it was there, and it was just not remarked on. Nobody caught it. Shame on us, but also, frankly, given the fact of the intense interest that the department has on this board, it would, I think, behoove us all to be kept up on this. We don't expect to see massive investment in this department. We just don't have the money, either operating or capital, to do it. But at the same time, there are things that I think should be mentioned to us on a regular basis, and I'd hope we'd have your commitment to keep us appraised. This is not a partisan issue. This is not a minority caucus issue, as was suggested earlier this morning. It is a matter of trust and credibility, trust in this board not to screw things up, and credibility on the part of the administration and your office, that things that we ought to know about, even if we don't have the wit to ask about them, be brought up, and I hope we have your support in that.
Understood.
Thank you very much. Any other questions by any members?
No.
If not, thank you very much. I can't, on the one hand, make any commitments about confirmation. On the other hand, congratulations.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for
time.
For coming in.
Thanks very much.
Thank you.
Members would take a look at the minutes in the odd chance. Well, no, I just want to save it for later. Well, unless
no,
we have we have a vacant time?
What?
We have some time?
I think we're okay.
Oh, yeah? Okay.
I'd like to make the motion.
On all three of them? Were you here for all three of them? No, you weren't.
I'm talking about Mr. Cullen.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm talking about minutes. I wanted to ask you to review the minutes. Okay. On the matter of Mr. Cullen.
I make the motion to approve.
Second it?
Second by Ms. Myers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Approves unanimously. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Now we'll look at the minutes.
Take a look at the minutes.
Okay.
I hope we agree that
were you able to find anything out about whether we have stormwater people?
No, I haven't had a chance to even follow up.
Okay.
I hope we can all agree that the event this morning was unfortunate, in both the way it evolved and the reaction of some of the members, so that we don't go through this again. And should opportunities arise to communicate minority to majority, majority to minority.
Well, it's about something like this.
That we'll, well, you know.
I think you should check.
Let's pay attention to the fact that we didn't pay attention to the capital
line,
budget. Check
the line of communication that was made. And then
yeah.
Maybe well, you'll come up to some conclusions.
This is by no means a one-way street. And I think every one of us, I think probably at least I felt guilty that I didn't pay attention to the capital budget for 2011. I didn't see it. And that's shame on me. But the member who seemed to suggest that she uniquely knew what was going on, I think that's very unwise to have put that forward. So let's just be sure that I think he's got a good will.
Minutes.
Okay, you're going to move minutes of which?
The 17th, and the 26th of September.
Okay. Mr. Testa can only speak for, well, can't speak for the 26th, nor the 17th at 12.
Yeah.
But he can speak for the those of the 17th at 4. So if you want to make that, and I will I will second for the other two. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Motion carries. Thank you very much. You can keep track of that complexity there.
I got it.
It's amazing. Amazing what a person can do. Okay. Puts their mind to it.
This is on here. John would have done it. Obviously, he had he obviously had a lot of interest in. John Cullen, I just want to know how much more of this I need to hang out for.
Now, John won't be
John's name is not going to come up again.
Advisory Council, Soil and
so if there's anything else, otherwise you could certainly report to John.
No, I'm just saying there's somebody that he tells about.
Okay. Citizens Consumer Advisory, no. The others are...
home and get the candy ready.
Well, you know, I told you I got it ready last night. My lights went out,
mm-hmm.
and we ended up eating
the candy.
A lot of it.
Said candy.
I'm wondering how much trick-or-treating there is going to be.
I don't think it matters if you eat candy in the dark, personally.
Right, it doesn't count.
It doesn't count. It's negative
really?
Calories, yeah.
Oh,
I'm
thank
sure
you, thank
of
you,
it.
Thank you.
But who sees you?
But I'll tell you, the Village of Pleasantville sent down an advisory for trick-or-treating.
Did they?
That. Well, in conjunction with Con Ed, because we have a lot of wires down.
Well, that's
yeah,
my
I
concern,
know.
Too. Yeah. I saw the county executive sent out an advisory about no sex predators, and my first thought was, but what about the live wires?
Hopefully they'll be electrocuted.
Well, yeah, maybe they'll be the only ones who'll go out.
What's going to happen is all the neighborhoods that don't have the problems, that's where everybody's going to go.
Well,
exactly.
They better
have extra candy.
You know that there's a party tonight for the sex predators. The Sex Predators Ball is conducted by the Department of Probation at the at least to be at the county center. All
ew.
Of the all of the registered sex predators are invited. Aggressively invited. In fact, they're brought in if they don't respond.
The taxpayer dollars at work.
I know. What,
well,
what?
Because you want them off the street.
You want them off the street. Do they? What do they do with them?
They have a apple cider party at the county center for 4 hours. Well, think about it.
Show?
Unless you've got an they're compelled to show.
Oh, it's like mandatory.
Well, that would be harsh.
Well, most
it's
of
a, it's a very seriously issued invitation.
Sexual predators that are housed over in Valhalla have monitors, physical people with them.
I doubt there's anyone who would allow their children to go trick-or-treating
there. No, we're not sending them to the county center.
No, I'm saying, so if their monitor tells them you need to go to the county center tonight.
Well, then that's probation.
Right.
Probation does that. They've done this for years. I happen not to have gone to any of them, but I've had long discussions with the commissioner and members of it.
It'd be like hell.
You're either at work or you're at this party.
Wow.
You have to be in one of the two places.
Right. Or sick, legitimately sick, but they then check on you. Because obviously this is one of the big times that people get concerned about this. So it's very important that they do this. So I would think that I guess, I didn't see the advisory from the county executive, but I would guess that it had something to do with this party.
I didn't read the whole thing.
Oh, okay.
I saw the advisory, but But, you know, we still have, as many communities do, a lot of trees and live wires.
Oh, that's sure. The fear.
But many neighborhoods out without. And it just happens to be where, well, you know, a lot of the kids in Pleasantville go to one area in the village.
That's flat.
Yeah, it's flat.
There's going to be a lot of black.
My neighborhood is flat. We get kids from all over the place.
Last night it was pretty bad.
Oh, last night it was
because it's melting all day. It's going to freeze up. It's going to be
absolutely
tough.
And they said, speaking of the village of Pleasantville, this is my mayor. Hey, Peter. Peter?
So when are you, it's not required. I don't want to say this in front of the person who comes in, but this is somebody who lives in Brooklyn. Is that, we're okay with that?
It certainly would appear that she's from Brooklyn. Let's ask.
But I mean, obviously, did we do any research, as in Melanie, do any research to find out if it's supposed to be a resident?
Let's ask. I have no issue
at
all.
I don't want to do anything embarrassing in front of her when she gets here.
Ask her, how do you expect to be able to do something?
No, but I'm just
wondering
asking,
if there's a requirement.
Is there a requirement?
Yeah, well, I mean, but let's, hey, we get to ask anything we damn well
do. No,
so
but I'm
going to
ask Melanie.
Yeah, well, ask Ms. Burns. Ms. Rivers, right?
Well, Ms. Rivers wouldn't know. It would be Melanie. It would be us who would need to know.
Well, she wouldn't know.
Right, she's not going to know. We need to find out if we have to have it be a person who lives here. Do we have the, do you have that book? Are you the keeper of that appointments book?
No.
The keeper of the book.
You don't have it?
No, Melanie keeps it.
Well, there's supposed to be bylaws in there and charter stuff, I think.
Well, let's see. The county executive's,
Maybe she's moving here.
Find out. All right, we'll just ask her if she's planning on moving into town, or if she used to live here in town, in this county. No show?
Here, we've got a question for you.
Ms. Rivers is a resident of Brooklyn, according to
yes.
This.
Is there a residency requirement attached to this?
No, actually not for that board. I don't think there is. I asked her why she would want to be on this commission if she lives in Brooklyn. She works for Macy's. She does a lot of work at the Macy's.
So she's here a lot.
So I guess she's representing the store. But she's coming on as a regular member, not as a... Merchant member.
Jan Blair is
here. Okay.
Oh, good. That's
the next
one. Bring him in.
We know Jan.
Thank you, ma'am.
Jan's a long time volunteer.
Do you know her?
Oh, yeah. You'll recognize her. She's been on the Environmental Management Council. And she had also been on Soil and Water before.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm.
She was
associate
years
director.
For the Environmental Management.
Yeah, she's great. I think she came in to see us on Stormwater, too. Didn't she? I don't know.
The year of her presence, she raised $100,000 for Hackley Parents. Why haven't we put her on our fundraising committee? Where does she live? Irving. Associate Director of the Soil and Water Board.
Oh, this is the one who was from Florida and New York. Didn't we see him before and we all went, why is he living in Florida?
No, you asked the question and I pointed out that there is a Florida, New York, and there is a Philadelphia, New York, and there are a whole bunch of other things. So.
Well, this next guy.
Hello. How are you?
Hi there. How are you? Good to see you again.
Nice to see you.
Hi, I'm Bill Burton.
Nice to see
John
you.
John Testa.
Hi there. Nice to see you.
What's it like out? Oh, it is. Is it icing? No.
No, not at all. No issues.
Okay.
gosh. So you just want to nice dash to out of here and get back home to start the trick-or-treat preparation?
Yes, I know. That's exactly. And they'll probably come early.
Yeah.
Although somebody told me that there was a definite decision made this year not to do daylight savings until after Halloween.
Oh, really?
Which... It seems like a huge decision, and you know, it's like, oh, someone decided. I don't know. It just seems.
Who makes that?
I don't know. The keeper of all time. I don't know.
Mother Nature quote.
Yeah, exactly. But we didn't do it last night, and it would have been like it had been, or Saturday night. It had always been the last Saturday in October.
Really?
And it's actually better because
this way, at least the kids get a little more light, right?
Probably the Congress did it. We know the Congress always does good things.
Well, maybe the one thing they agreed upon.
Well, I was looking over your resume and discovered that you've been here before on the Soil and Water.
Soil and Water, and I was chair of the ENC.
Are you a glutton for punishment?
Or,
Judy? Yes, she is.
Or is there some other deep, dark secret you'd like to reveal to us?
Oh, yes, I'm going to take over the world.
Well, this is probably not the first place to start.
No, actually, I have a lot of, I have a big network out there with all the organizations, all the boards I sit on. And my feeling has always been when I was chair of EMC, I always thought that including all the other organizations within the EMC, we could accomplish so much more. So I'm on all these boards, and I say yes, and I love doing what I do, obviously, otherwise I wouldn't be here. I absolutely love it. And I feel I know so many people, and I just keep going, you know, and moving things forward. And I think it's just very exciting to see these. Over the past 25 years, things have changed so much in the environment. Judy, you know it.
Yeah.
We've had conversations about all kinds of things over the years. And Michael Kaplowitz and all those guys are, you know, my good friends from years ago. But I just... feel I have the network out there, and I'm always in touch with everybody, and feel like I can accomplish things.
Sounds fair. Mr. Tessa?
Well, I feel bad even asking her questions. I mean, there's really no question that she's qualified for it, so I'm just glad that you're willing to come back and help us out, because we do need the help.
Thank you.
Ms. Myers?
Your resume speaks for itself, and I know you've been so terrific, and boy, are we lucky to have you.
Thank you.
Really lucky. It's interesting. I was searching around when I had electricity this past weekend until Saturday at 1. I was on the web, and I was looking up some stuff, and I came upon Tom Anderson's, one of his blogs, and on the side it talked about the book he had written about the sound. And I ended up clicking on it. It took me directly to Amazon.com. And I clicked on download to my Kindle, and I have been just, I had never read it before. This is a guy who used to write for the Journal News. Mm-hmm. He is a fantastic writer, but it's the entire history of the Long Island Sound from glaciers forming it. It is so interesting.
It's worth reading.
And then, so I'm like halfway through it, and then I looked at the Journal News this morning that talked about the lobsters dying off again, you know, despite all of our efforts to get rid of the nitrogen. I mean, it's just very,
I know.
It's a real critical environmental issue,
really,
because
critical.
His book especially gives you this understanding that it's a living body of water that needs preservation and needs a lot of help.
Absolutely, and it's the lobsters and the fish, the animals are indicators of
right. That tells you the health. Yeah,
the water's not healthy. I know we went through this before with Nancy Seligson when I was on the Long Island Sound CAC.
Mm-hmm.
The lobsters had lesions on them.
Oh, I know.
When you see them, you don't ever want to eat a lobster again. Mm-hmm. And they're terrible. So you know, Judy Ho.
Yeah.
Really bad.
Nancy's going to be supervisor at the town of New York.
Oh,
she has no opposition, so we're pretty sure she'll get elected.
Wow. That's terrific. She is great.
She is incredible, and she is like
great.
Miss Long Island Sound.
Yes,
so,
she is. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
We're the town's really lucky.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
She'll do a fine job.
Yeah.
Can you tell me why you went off the board?
The ENC?
No, the Soil and Water.
Well, I was on the Soil Health Board as the chair of the EMC.
Oh, I see. So, but it was by virtue of office.
Exactly. Exactly right. Mm-hmm. And I left the EMC. I had my mother and my stepfather. My stepfather was dying of lung cancer, and I had to take a few steps back to take care of my family.
Mm-hmm.
And then I just, once I was able to pull everything back together again, I started to get on the treadmill. You know, I never went far, but here
right.
I am back in full swing, so...
Good.
That's why
we need this group.
Great.
Now, we have been interviewing a number of people for the flood advisory.
Stormwater advisory.
What do we call it?
Stormwater advisory.
Stormwater advisory.
SWAB.
Thank you for not applying. because what we're not going to do is cannibalize everything else in order to do this. Although
but we
you
do
probably could fit
try
this
to
in.
Pull, as we had talked about
yeah.
before. It's
but
such
you could probably fit this in, but
work.
But you know, there it's nonetheless. I just wondered what you thought of how we would integrate these various groups that you have managed to personally integrate them yourself. How are we going to integrate this Stormwater Advisory Board and Task Force into the existing fabric?
I think that the large watershed groups like the Hudson River Watershed Alliance mm-hmm. that looks at the whole watershed from the beginning of the Hudson all the way down yeah. to New York City, New Jersey, they have information that we could share with the county. And I think there should be more interaction with the groups that are out there already that have... We have a watershed atlas that I just went to Mary Jane Chimsky's meeting a few days ago.
With her Sawmill River
Basin.
Yeah.
And I mentioned it to Mary Jane, and she said, good, keep that thought, because the county will probably want that atlas.
Yeah.
It's online, you can look at it. But there, the groups out there, it seems like, and Judy, you know, there's so many groups doing similar things.
Right.
And for us, for the county, to be out there saying, gee, you know, we're going to try to look for this stuff, it would be good to, and I always included, as I said, I always included other organizations when I chaired the EMC. I brought on the Nature Conservancy, Scenic Hudson. They were all serving on my board because we shared information. I think it's really important to share information mm-hmm. and use those resources, what's available already, and pick their brain. I love to pick people's brains.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Pick their brain and see what they have. And, you know, then you can accomplish what you have to do so much faster mm-hmm. and much more cost-effective.
Oh, yeah. And then you're not reinventing the wheel each time.
No.
I know.
You're not waiting to do a 10-year study, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So,
is there institutional resistance to this kind of integration?
Well, you know, some years ago, people used to say, oh, the county's going to take over. Mm-hmm. They're going to tell us what to do, and we don't want them to tell us what to do. But there are other organizations, and there are other times where these groups say, well, we really need to have a higher visibility, and we really should be talking to the county. I'm always telling these groups, you should be talking to the various counties. I'm on the Arts Resource Conservation and Development Board. It's an ag
oh,
board
wow.
for economic development for the farmers, to help the farmers. And we have 7 counties within our council, 7 counties in one council, and I'm the vice chair of that council, and we integrate all of those counties in our work. And right now we're working on a food barge to the city to transport food from upstate New York down
oh,
to the
wow.
city on the Hudson River.
Fresh food.
Yes. We have a $30,000 grant from NYSERDA, and we hired a couple of consultants to do a feasibility study. So we're really moving forward with it. So good things like that are happening. But those are the kinds of things that you all need to know about. So
yes.
when you're doing the Stormwater Advisory Committee, there's information out there already that we, the organizations, could share with you. You know, just maybe take a look at who's out there and who's done what and
yeah.
invite them to a meeting. You know, the big ones that really mm-hmm. have mm-hmm. the information, not every little.
Yeah, that's the other thing that I see happens very often is you get small startup groups who don't realize that wheel has already been invented and that there are other groups out there. And it almost does call for the same kind of sort of umbrella.
That's right.
You know,
like the EMC. Now, mm-hmm. the EMC was served a wonderful purpose
mm-hmm.
As far as bringing all the CACs together, sharing of information, including other outside organizations with government, mm-hmm. county government. That was a really good group to include, to be very inclusive. And, you know, we could always take that information back to the county exec's office. Mm-hmm. We always took it back to whoever was the commissioner of planning at the time.
Right.
You know, and that was a great way to integrate it, because all the CACs are volunteers.
Right.
So it's not costing the county, really. Mm-hmm. And you have the worker bees out there, the CACs.
Oh, and their passion. Yeah.
And then reporting back.
Mm-hmm.
So that, you know, that's one thing that I think, Judy, the thing, like the Hudson River Watershed Alliance is the umbrella organization, and we work with a lot of watershed groups.
Mm-hmm.
So this is the larger, that's mm-hmm. why we're called an alliance. It's the larger.
Sure.
Umbrella group for the watershed groups.
Yeah.
That's great. Does that have a legislative mandated role, or is it just strictly advisory?
No, we're just okay. We are
so it depends entirely on voluntary.
Oh, the EMC.
Involvement. Yeah.
The EMC was appointed by county exec.
Mm-hmm.
But that's not in existence anymore, right?
Well, not really. No, not really.
What happened?
You know, Nancy Seligson became the chair,
mm-hmm.
and then Nancy was so involved with Long Island Sound that she really didn't have the time to dedicate, because there were so many meetings. If you really wanted to do the job, there were meetings morning, noon, and night everywhere, because you represented all of Westchester and all the CACs. So Nancy didn't have the time, and then it kind of just went by the wayside.
But was it established, Melanie? We still have it on the books?
There's statute. They have the statute.
I'm not sure.
Let's look it up and see who's around for that.
It was on the books, and it was where you had to...
I sincerely doubt if we repealed it, so if it was on the books, it probably still is on the books.
And we were required to have 10 meetings, 10 executive committee. We had 10 executive committee meetings a year, and we had quarterly meetings with all of our CACs presented here, or one of the county mm-hmm. facilities. We would have a guest speaker. Maybe it was a county exec, maybe it was a... You know, whoever the guest speaker was at these quarterly meetings, and it was very informative, and we always had a good turnout. Mm-hmm. People are still asking me when I go out to meetings. They say, "Whatever happened to the EMC?"
Yeah.
And I say, "I'm not really sure."
Well, we should find out.
We will.
Does the Westchester County Planning Department provide good backup support for your efforts?
For the EMC?
Well, from not only for the EMC, but for other places, Soil and Water and the various watershed groups.
They do, because as far as the Ag and Farmland Protection Board, Dave Bing mm-hmm. is a great guy. He's there at every meeting, and I just got an email before I left the house. I'm on that board, council board also. And Soil and Water, yes, we have support, a lot of support. You know, Rob Dosher, Lisa, we had good support from Soil and Water. And I think that's one of the reasons EMC went by the wayside, because they kind of just dropped it. We were in a transition period.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know what was happening, but it just disappeared.
Mm-hmm.
Usually there we go.
I get a lot of questions similar to that about, and I don't have the answer to, the Global Warming Task Force. I mean, all of that research that was pulled together and sort of, where is it? What's happened? And I don't ever have answers.
I know. That's League of Conservation Voters has questioned that.
Yeah. But these are, I mean, you hate to have it gotten to a point where you've got so much information and then not to keep it going somehow. And
it's very difficult for all of you and for the county to really do all these things. I mean, it must be an impossible job. I would never
keep
run for legislator.
That's a relief. Are you in Judy's district?
It would be a difficult job, but I think that those are the kind. That's when I think that you need to reach out. You know,
I do
to
too.
The reputable, organized, mm-hmm. established organizations that can work with you mm-hmm. in doing this. And I always looked at the EMC as a good way of doing that. I always said, you know, they're out there. The CACs are just waiting for information. And there's so much information because everybody's doing their own thing in their own town.
Right.
And then, you know, emails might be exchanged across borders, like Dobbs Ferry to Irvington. But if that's not shared, then...
It's almost as if, since there's a Westchester Municipal Officials Association, it'd be great if there was somehow they could have a branch that was specifically focused on environmental management.
It would
you
be.
Know, and that they could meet and
I agree
pull together.
You. That would be a really good thing to do, because then it would help relieve you all, because you could have a chair that would report back your
mm-hmm,
reports.
Mm-hmm.
They could gather the information
right.
for you. You wouldn't have to do it. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't cost the county anything.
Right.
Pull the information together and report back.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I think it would be helpful.
Yeah, I do too.
I
do, too. But we'll look into this Environmental Management Council, because it would be good to know what's happened.
Yeah. And it's the legislation is there. It's on the books.
I love these interviews. We get all sorts of information.
I know. It's true. They're learning.
Okay. You've been terrific. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Thanks so much.
Nice to meet you.
Nice to meet you.
I'm glad you came
Thank
in.
Thank you very much. Judy, good to see you.
Good to see you.
See you soon.
Okay.
Sure.
Absolutely. Thanks.
Yeah, you're breaking your pledge.
Bye-bye.
Breaking the pledge.
No, we have a no-show at 4:45, so we're actually cool. We'll be out of here
oh,
before
we had
5.
A pledge?
And it's only 4:15 now, so okay. The next
I told John we get it all done before the end of the original time limit. All right, may I have a motion?
I was so moved.
Second.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Motion passes unanimously. Thank you very much. Now, Mr. Mitchell, or if we can find her, Ms. Rivers. Besides which, John, I'm a politician, which means that I don't deliberately break promises, but it does happen.
Sometimes I wonder if you want the interview to end.
He likes them so much.
One of the neat things about, you know, we've had a stretch. There were a couple of bumps in the road and some difficult people, and people shouldn't have been involved in this thing, but it happens from time to time. But usually the people we get are really, really interesting. And I find it... I mean, you're right. Okay, if I get a little bit crazy, just put your arm in my hand on my arm or something and say.
All I could say is somebody like her, who is like a no-brainer.
Oh yeah, but she's telling us all sorts of things. So this EMC, for example, who knew? Number one.
Yeah, I didn't know that it wasn't.
Number two, you hear her, and all of a sudden you say, "All right, if I need to do something, if I need to get somewhere, what do I do? I call this little one or that little one, or maybe I'll just call her." And it imprints. At least it does on me. We sit up in our little isolated Northwest Kingdom, and we don't know about the rest of the county.
They don't know about us.
Right, but we're less. We don't do that much. But they've got the where the problems are.
Hey, how are you?
How are you?
John Custer.
Thomas Smith.
Nice to meet you.
How are you?
Hi, Judy Myers. Nice to meet you.
Bill Burton.
Good to meet you.
My lord, he brought a notebook. We're in trouble.
Oh no.
Mine's signing it.
Go ahead.
Hi, can I call you back? I'm in the meeting. All right, then let me walk out. Hold on.
My police chief, there they go. But
they'll be
back.
I'll be right back.
My police chief in Austin cannot pronounce youth. He pronounces it you. So, what are you on the Ute board for? What brings you there? So, I can see, obviously, from your resume that you have a professional
involvement. What brings me there? Just my commitment in the community to make a better lifestyle for young people. Because right now, due to the economic times, a lot of the programs are being cut. So, a lot of the programs have to be creative as to how they move forward. And I've been involved for quite some time, ever since I started my career, basically, in youth programs. So I just thought this would be the next step, being invited to be part of the board, Youth Bureau Board.
And they reached out to you?
Yes, I was I mean, so that might be an opportunity, and not until it happened, I was able to, I guess, move to the next step.
Mm-hmm. Great. Have you been going to meetings?
Yes, I've been to two meetings. One was just a basic introduction, and the second one was, it's the annual meeting, or the first meeting of the year.
Mm-hmm.
In September.
Yes. Oh, they work on a September to August calendar?
I forgot the calendar year in terms of the meetings, but I know I think I attended the last meeting, and then I couldn't come to, I guess things were actualized until September, and then they wanted me to come to that meeting because they were having a dinner. And
okay, because your term expires December 31, so it sounds like it's a January to December calendar, for at least for appointments. So whether
for
that's their work, well, that's whether their work program is different. I don't know.
Oh, I didn't know it was for a year.
You know, but your calendar runs to your appointment runs for 2 years until the end of 13.
Yeah.
So it was 11, 12, 13, 3-year term.
Paperwork or something was going back and forth, and that's why.
Well, you've signed up. You're already in. I mean, no way out now.
I know, I was in, and then it was just a matter of just paperwork being approved. And I got a call in July saying I can attend the September meeting.
Ah, great.
Officially.
So professionally, how did you get into the issue of youth?
Professionally? In terms of my career, one of my first initial jobs was at the PRC, Department of Juvenile Justice. I had a job as a case manager, and I got a promotion to be in the planning unit for the New York City Department of Juvenile Justice. And then from there, I just went to the Greater New York YMCA, and then I went to the foundation, and now I am currently at a private school.
This is the Lyceum Kennedy?
Yes.
What is that?
It's a French-Japanese private school in Manhattan. Diplomats. They're both separate.
Wow.
The French school goes from, it's a bilingual school, goes from pre-K to 11, and then the Japanese school for regular program is pre-K to kindergarten, and then on Saturday there's supplemental school.
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of Japanese families want their children to continue with the language.
Mm-hmm.
So where am I? I'm the American sensibility. So
and do you speak either French or Japanese?
not fluent in either, but I know how to navigate myself.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh. Good for you. Wow, that's an interesting combination.
Yeah.
How did you come to take that branch?
I was... My prior job before working there, I was a director for Big Brothers Big Sisters of Westchester County. And I think it was my first week there, a woman came to volunteer. She was a lawyer from California. And I just, as she was a volunteer, just talked to her from time to time. And lo and behold, her family owned the school, the Lyceum Kennedy School. Private school. So the father passed away 3-4 years ago, and then I was called and asked this would be an opportunity for me. So I said, I don't know. I don't speak French or Japanese. What do you see? How do I fit? So I think she thought, and as she met me and knew of me and interacted with me over the years, I guess my diplomat skills in terms of working with all types of people.
Yeah.
She thought that would be a good fit, and this is it's like a year and a half now, and I could see why.
Mm-hmm.
Why she chose me in terms of decision making and in terms of working with both cultures.
Yeah, it's interesting. That's fascinating.
Yeah, I've been very fortunate. I've been at the right place, right time, knowing good people,
mm-hmm.
And even the foundation was interesting. I was working with the Greater New York YMCA, and one organization that was funded by the foundation asked, they're looking for someone, they think you'd be a good person. And lo and behold, I got that job. And that was was with Rosie O'Donnell.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, so I worked for her for a number of years.
That's interesting.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, you would be... can we interview?
Middle initial S for serendipity, yes.
Exactly. Yeah. But I mean, boy,
for a
this
job?
Would be...
You want to steal him from
yeah,
the school?
We have an opening, no. But it is, I mean, you could be really helpful to the youth board.
Okay, thank you.
I think you would be immensely valuable with all of your experience.
Yes,
and
yes, well,
we'd be lucky to have your services.
You. Well, I appreciate the opportunity.
How long have you lived in Tarrytown?
I lived in Tarrytown 10 years now.
Oh, okay.
10 years. And prior to that, I lived in Mount Vernon.
Oh, okay. So you know Westchester.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes,
very
much. Trying to pick picture where 330 South Broadway is.
It's not too far from the Tappan Zee Bridge.
I know where 303 is.
Yeah, right in that area.
But it's got to be after that. After that's about the Tappan Zee Bridge.
Yeah, it's between that.
There's a little condo in there?
Yes, a condo. Yes.
Okay.
Oh, do you see the water?
I have to walk outside the house. Yeah,
I can see the water and hear the bridge, I would think.
Mm. Not the bridge. Well, the new bridge? I don't know. I hope they buy me out.
They're going to come north rather than south?
Yeah, I think they're going to get towards White Plains. Or, I don't know how they're going to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I'm still trying to
figure
out.
We're all wondering that.
I missed the last meeting. But, yeah, it'd be nice. And they were talking about going like a tunnel to
mm-hmm.
White Plains. So there's some ideas on the table.
Sure.
I don't think that's going to be like 30 years from now.
It's going to be a long time.
It's going to be a long time. They want to do so many things. And they want to make the current bridge, Highland 2.
Yeah, right.
Wasn't that Paul Finer's thing?
Anything that comes from Paul Finer is immediately discounted by about 80% of the decision makers.
But I was just thinking, you know, the amount that it will cost to tear down, you might as well do something.
The amount it would cost to carry the damn thing.
Yeah. People
are
always jumping off that bridge, too.
Oh, that's what we need.
It's
jumper's delight.
Yeah.
Put a little sign for that.
That bridge is always...
Thank you.
Yeah.
So well, it's not anchored to anything.
It's floating. Isn't it floating?
Well, it doesn't float, but what happens is it's mud so far down that what they do is that they use the pressure of the water coming down and the mud which squeezes it. And there's literally no bedrock that it's anchored to.
Mm-hmm.
So if you vibrate it, you can, if you vibrate it enough, cause the mud to liquefy, which is what the original worry was that if you ever put twice the number of vehicles on it as it was originally planned for, now it's running six times and it hasn't fallen apart yet. But it may only be a matter of time. I have no idea how they're going to construct this new bridge.
Yeah.
I mean, in terms of vibration and capacity and all that. Which will be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
And we would rely on you.
No, he'll be on the youth board. He'll say, not my area.
Exactly. I'll be
no
long gone
you.
By now.
Yeah. Do you envision your career as staying in this, not physical area, but I mean in the area of youth and the schools? Or where do you see yourself in 5 years?
Well, yes, I mean, that's what my career has been thus far. Rather, it was in a preventive mode or actually working at the New York City Department of Juvenile Justice. Full gamut here.
Yeah.
So I can't see deviating from that too much at this point. Again, it'll be... You know, I was just thinking about that the other day. I've worked nationally, local, now globally, and then all with young people, so
mm-hmm.
it's an interesting...
Mr. Testa spent more than 20 years in the high school classroom in Peekskill.
32.
32, excuse me.
Okay.
But who's counting?
But who's counting? And who knows how many more...
One more to go.
One more days and
counting.
Months to go. So we all do different things in different ways. But this is terrific, and I think we're very grateful to have you on board here.
Thank you.
Recognize that this board is particularly interested in youth matters, and
mm-hmm.
while there are always collisions, and this is not a partisan statement, there's always collisions between what perhaps could be and what budgetarily is allowed to be.
Mm-hmm.
We make the budget here,
mm-hmm.
and to the extent that we need to know something,
mm-hmm.
We'd encourage you and your other board members to reach out to us.
Okay.
It doesn't have to be back channel, but that's not a bad idea.
Okay.
At the same time, we would, generally speaking, take no reach out to indicate approval, and that could be perhaps not what's intended. So
okay.
Please feel free to come. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Great to meet you. You too, you too.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Is there any way I can have your names?
Oh, sure.
Melanie will give you all of our contact information.
Okay.
But generally, Myers, Testa, and Burton at Board of Legislators, WestchesterLegislators.com will get to us.
Okay.
Last name plus WestchesterLegislators.com.
Right.
Okay, so
and we have a website.
Him until January.
Oh, no, January.
Yeah, right. Well,
yeah, he's not.
And you probably, too. We're going to knock your butt off the board.
You have my number?
Okay. Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you again.
Thank you.
Thank
you. Except you keep getting endorsed by people. It's really
yes,
scary.
Congratulations on the endorsement.
God.
That was a nice write-up.
It's truly annoying to see all these endorsements come rolling down the road. May I have a motion?
Yes, so moved.
Second.
All in favor, say aye.
Aye. He's a good
motion
friend.
Passes. Thank you very much.
So who's here? Ertz?
Ertz is here.
And good. We have Alvy?
No, Alvy canceled because she has no pet.
We assume that means that she wouldn't smell nice.
The other one didn't come yet?
What?
The other one? Didn't come?
No. What happened to her?
Oh, well.
We confirmed on Friday.
She may have no power either.
Yeah, a lot of people are still out.
Mr. Ertz is a retail representative from, I take it, ShopRite Supermarkets. And this is the Florida, New York guy.
Mm-hmm.
That's over where, isn't that where the Renaissance Fair is and all that over there?
1921 looks like Rockland or Orange, doesn't it?
Yeah, it's Rockland. I think it's over near where the Renaissance Fair is.
Now, who was the lady who came and lobbied us for the changing of the unit pricing? She wasn't ShopRite. But
no,
she
she's with a New York State Grocers Association. I
that
believe.
Was.
Yeah.
But it might be nice to know where Mr. Ertz lives. It certainly is his office address. It's in Florida, at least I assume.
Well, he went to Fordham, St. Joseph's, and Iona. Oh, he says he's co-manager assigned to several.
Yeah, but that's Florida's. It's got to be his
Westchester,
business.
Several Westchester locations.
Yeah, right. Just where he is. Anyway, one of those interesting questions. Because I don't think it's inappropriate to ask, you know, how you're going to be able to provide, you know, make the time if you live way far away from the county. Even if all that is a softball. Oh, excellent. How are you?
Hi, Judy Myers.
Tom Ertz.
Nice to meet you.
Bill Burton, glad to meet you.
Tom Ertz.
John Testa.
Hi, Tom Ertz. Nice to meet you all.
Sort of like 20 questions where you sign in. And
sure.
Question number one would be, what's a Floridian want to be involved in Westchester County for?
Yeah, what's Florida? Where's Florida, New York?
Florida, New York is in Orange County. That's where our home office is.
For ShopRite.
That's correct. ShopRite's a unique company. It's a co-op, and our headquarters is in Keysby, New Jersey. I represent the 30 stores that is the captive, the corporately owned stores. And our central base is out of Florida, New York.
Hmm.
We have 9 stores in Westchester, 8 stores in Orange County, 3 in Dutchess and Putnam. We have stores in Ulster, and we just opened our newest store in a little town in Niskayuna, New York, and outside of Schenectady.
Wow.
Yeah,
but so where do you live?
I live currently in Highland Mills, which is right by Woodbury Common. I was born and raised in Yonkers, and up until 2 years ago, I moved up there when I was promoted. I was the district manager for ShopRite for the Westchester stores for a couple of years. I joined ShopRite in 2006. Prior to that, I worked for the Food Emporium, which I held a number of positions, including assistant manager, store manager, district manager, director of store services,
I managed the store that, where the CVS is now on Mamaroneck Avenue. That was my store for 3 years when it was a food emporium. I had all the Westchester stores when I was a DM for ShopRite and Food Emporium. In addition,
oh, so they're connected, ShopRite and Food Emporium?
No, I left Food Emporium, as you know, the company.
Food Emporium was A&P,
Food
right?
Emporium was once Date Shopwell, purchased by Food, right? Shop. Correct. There was stores all around here. Purchased by A&P, and then A&P did what they did, and, you know, they find themselves where they are today, which is unfortunately in a very precarious situation. My father, you know, worked for A&P his whole life. He was 52 years, he worked for the A&P. Wow. He managed stores all over Westchester, Yonkers, Nepperhan Avenue, Mount Oak Street in Mount Vernon, and he 19 years in Hastings-on-the-Hudson.
Wow.
So my retail background goes very, very long.
So who sucked you into this?
I guess the vacancy came up, and I got a call from George Oros. He said I was recommended by Pat Brodhagen from NYFIA.
That's who we work with a lot. Yeah, she's the woman who comes
right.
in.
And I've come here to committees, you know, plastic bags.
Yeah, right. I remember
yeah.
I was
yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, exactly. I do all the government, you know, in ShopRite, my role is HR, human resources, and also community affairs, community outreach work. And also do the government affairs work. Last night I was at Beckwith Point, received the award from NAACP for its Outstanding Business Award of the Year with Ron Williams and Kelly Johnson.
Okay, that was you.
Yeah.
Because I had a thing with Noam Bramson, and then he had to leave. He said, I'm going over to...
Yes, I was
and
with
And I said,
Noam
I'm not
going to
make that. But oh, so you would have... Okay, that's interesting.
Yeah, I've done a lot of work with... Like,
well, the ShopRite in New Rochelle is doing well.
Yes. Like the Union Baptist Church that burned down. We're working with Pastor Hudson on the rebuild efforts.
Yeah.
So I'm very much the kind of, as my boss says, you're the face of ShopRite, so go forth, you know.
Yeah, that's great.
How's the ShopRite up in Cortland Manor doing?
It's doing very well. You've got the three stores there across the street, Mohegan Lake, A&P, and then the Stop and Shop and the Walmart. But it's doing very well. I have to say, ShopRite in general is doing very well.
Who owns ShopRite?
ShopRite is privately owned.
Oh,
so it's a cooperative by Wakefern.
Okay. Oh, Wakefern.
Yes. And you might have seen there was just a press release on Wakefern. ShopRite was just named Progressive Grocer and Supermarket News Retailer of the Year. First time at one company has ever received both distinctions.
Wow.
We just had our annual meeting in which we had a little change in leadership. We announced our sales, which were a record of $12.8 billion for the year.
Nice.
So it's a very robust, healthy company, given all things right now. We're an expanding company. As I mentioned, we just opened a store up north, but we also opened three stores in Westchester to expand our footprint to 9 stores, which was New Rochelle, Scarsdale, and White Plains.
I think the lines were out the door.
Yeah, and we hired probably about 1,000 people between those three stores.
Yeah, that's good.
Great.
There used to be a food store in Mount Vernon, but it closed, right?
That's correct.
And do we have any sort of commercial grocery store in Mount Vernon now?
Best of my knowledge, Stop and Shop has a presence in Mount Vernon. ShopRite got out of that footprint. That was during the bankruptcy time when it went from being a privately owned member to being bought as a captive. The previous member, which was owned by Big V Supermarkets, ended up going bankrupt. And then the stores were assumed back into the co-op by Wakefern and then run by SRS. And unfortunately, that situation in Mount Vernon, the lease was written going into the bankruptcy, knowing what was happening. So it was a type of lease where as the volume escalated and got higher, the rent went up. So when... It was really a lose-lose scenario. The more you invested in the store, the more the volume lifted, the more you had to pay, so they had to abandon the store.
Wow.
And that was unfortunate at the time, but again, that was during the transition of the bankruptcy from private member to corporately owned.
Mm-hmm. Are you going to be able to go back into Mount Vernon?
At this point, I don't think so, but I will tell you that, obviously we're an expanding company, so we're open to any opportunities that exist, and whatever that means with our competitors, we're in a position financially to take advantage of anything that comes along.
Well, bankruptcy would have voided the lease, right?
In that instance, yeah. I mean, that just, it was a timing thing as much as anything.
But was it an appropriately sized store in a decent location? Or?
At that point in time, for what ShopRite was about, it was. But as you can see from across the street, if you've been there, ShopRite, this is not your father's or mother's ShopRite across the street, and this is really the footprint we're looking for, 65 to 70,000 square feet, that affords you the opportunity to put all the different things that you see in there, with the hot foods to go, the dietitian's office, the expanded produce, all the things that you see there is kind of, and it's similar to what you see in Scarsdale and what you have in New Rochelle, although the layout's slightly different. That's kind of the footprint of what we're looking for now.
And you need a couple of hundred parking places.
Yeah, well, yeah, that's always to code. But yes. Yes.
Well, it's nice to have somebody who really knows all this stuff.
I know, exactly.
It's his life.
This was a test, by the way. We're not mining for information.
That's
we don't
fine.
We don't work for ShopRite. So,
right.
Mr. Testa.
No, I feel overwhelmed really with all the information, but I think it'd be a great addition. So I appreciate you. With your sounds like you're so busy going from all
that's
counties,
what I do.
And yeah,
that's
so, you,
what I do.
So you'll have time to do this.
Oh, have no, you been to a meeting?
Yeah, I've been to two or three of them.
Oh, good. And it,
okay.
Was,
John?
It was you could get to them and all.
Yeah, and good. There's one on the 15th.
Okay. Terrific.
Great.
Where do you meet?
We meet in the over on, I can't think of it.
Board of Elections?
Yeah, no, it's where Weights and Measures.
Oh, well, Consumer Protection.
Yeah, Consumer Protection, yes.
Oh, in the conference room?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Makes sense.
Where I used to visit when I was the store manager, when we'd go there for fines or that.
Yeah. That's
that
one
time it was Richie, but now it's John.
Yeah. It's 112 East Post Road.
Yeah.
Yes, Post Road. Right. East Post Road. That's what I drew it like.
Sorry, that happens a lot. Ms. Meyer.
No, we'd be lucky to have you.
Yeah, I think we met when we were when you had made the big deal of opening up for the plastic bags recycling.
He was here for the Energy Committee.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. But yep. I think we had a big event at the store in Greenberg?
Scarsdale?
Maybe it was Scarsdale.
Yeah, Scarsdale.
It was for
the recycling of them.
Yeah.
Of plastic bags. Yeah.
I probably, because that's all the type of work that I do is the involvement.
Yeah, no, I just remember it was in the days when you guys were still involved with Food Emporium, because we had one of those in my district, and we were concerned as to whether or not they were really going to do this, and the answer was you bet. So they go great guns. They must ship out 10 55-gallon drums in the course of a quarter or something, just filled with the stuff.
Right.
So it's it's a great thing, and nobody can say that we may run a nanny state around here, but nobody can say that it's not successful.
Although I have to say, I just saw that. Have you seen Bagot, the movie?
No.
It's a documentary. It's a lot
not
like
Michael Moore, though.
It's not Michael Moore, but it's almost like a Michael Moore wannabe. Maybe he takes on way too much. It starts out as being sort of the plight of the plastic bag, and it gets you. But then it starts talking. Then he even turns on recycling.
Okay.
And then it gets. Then you just end up really depressed because it basically it's a whole diatribe against plastic, period. And then there's, you sort of don't know where to go from there.
It's a complicated issue.
Yeah, and
it's
all these little tiny
issue.
Pieces of plastic that end up in the ocean and swirl around and around and around, and all the fish eat them, and then they die. And
our economy is consumer-driven.
Yeah.
Until the consumer behavior changes, it's very tough. As a retailer,
yeah.
Obviously, if there's less cost to me in providing some type of plastic bag or some other bag, so be it.
Mm-hmm.
But it still has to be the consumer. And we're in a business to make consumers happy
and
please consumers.
No, it's true.
So when consumers want certain things and we don't want to provide it and other
go out of business.
Although now Westport has banned them.
Right.
Do you have any stores in Connecticut?
We don't. There are private members that have them.
And it's how are things going up there?
Consumers kind of, they gripe with that a little bit. I mean, we have a sister company called Price Right, which is different. And there it's kind of you bring your own. You bring your own bag, you bring your own box, or you purchase it.
Sort of like a Costco thing.
Correct.
Yeah.
But you know going in, that's the model, and it's a limited assortment grocery, so you go in knowing that. But in this environment, as consumers, we'd love you to bring your recycled bags back. It just makes sense. We incent you to do that.
Right.
With 5 cents and 2 cents.
Right.
But I can't make you bring them to the,
A municipality that's thinking of banning them. Rye, New York, is thinking, they're moving ahead with trying to get that legislation going. I don't know if it'll work. You know?
It's a tough call.
Yeah.
I understand the realities of life, and at some point it may be, but I think plastic sometimes gets a bad rap.
Well, yeah, I know this movie made you feel like, well, then we're doomed because...
You don't even realize things that are plastic.
No, and a lot of those things were developed because other things weren't good, you know, and do we go back to having botulism and salmonella and... Yeah, it's
a series of trade-offs sometimes.
Yeah.
With some matters.
Yeah.
Okay.
Anyway, if you see anybody showing a movie and you feel like being really depressed, go see it.
Go.
Yeah. I really recommend it.
Pay money to go.
No, it was free. It was free.
Get depressed for free. That's good.
Gasland. They're starting to charge to go see Gasland now.
Oh, that's a depressing one too.
Yes, that's a goodie.
Good depressing.
So. Terrific shape.
Okay.
All right. Thank you very much for coming. Thank you for volunteering your time.
Yeah. Thank you. Yeah, thank you. Care.
Thanks very much.
Be well. Thank you. Nice meeting you.
Thank you.
Thank you for finally making this happen.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Sorry. Have a good day.
You too.
We have rescheduled a couple of times.
Okay. I have a motion.
And then what's this?
I'll make the motion.
Yeah, I'll second it.
Squire seconds. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
There.
Oh, this was something I had.
You had asked me to keep that in your folder.
Only because there were so many.
Yeah,
okay.
You wanted to hold on to that.
We have lost Mr. Alvey. Ms. Alvey.
Woman, yeah.
Yeah, and we have lost
Rivers.
So
we should keep her down for months.
We're out of.
We should keep Rivers people. And I'll keep them in our folder then, so you don't have to do anything.
Need a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion.
Second.
Well, I was going to hold John hostage.
No, that's so unfair.
All right.
Try.
Besides, I really want to get home to my cold, freezing.